Build on a sure foundation. St. Helena, California, June 19, 1908. The story of a crucified and risen Savior is the great central theme of the Word of God. In the Psalms, in the prophecies, in the Gospels, and in the Epistles, God has by revelation made prominent the vital truths concerning the agreement between the Father and the Son in providing for the salvation of a lost race. Christ was crucified to save the world. For his enemies, for a race in rebellion against God, our Savior suffered the most excruciating agonies that human flesh could endure. He has made ample provision for sinners that they need not perish. In the light of his death agony on the cross, we may know that whosoever will truly repent and receive him as a personal Savior will receive everlasting life. Our highest privilege is to honor Jesus Christ. We need now, in this year 1908, a continual spirit of submission to the will and requirements of God. His word is plain. If we will seek for a personal experience in submitting to its requirements, we may appropriate the promise. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalm 25, verse 9. As we study the word prayerfully, with an obedient heart, the Holy Spirit will be with us to make upon our minds the correct application. This is a privilege that the world cannot receive or understand, for they have not the Spirit of truth, whom, Christ declared, the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But to his disciples he says, Ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Ye have the mind of Christ. John 14, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. In the parable of the marriage of the king's son, Jesus relates how, after earnest efforts, the wedding was furnished with guests. Matthew 22, verse 10. He continues, When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Verses 11 to 14. It has been repeatedly revealed to me that many professing Christians will, in the time of final test, be greatly disappointed. Many, many will fail to provide themselves with that righteousness of Christ represented in the parable by the wedding garment. They have trusted in their own righteousness and have not manifested the humility of Jesus Christ. They may be seated at the supper table with others, but Christ will recognize them and will say to them, How camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment? Verse 12. Unless those who profess to be Christians become sanctified through the truth, and learn to reveal the likeness of Christ in words, in deeds, in spirituality, in their relation to their fellow men, the great day of test and trial will find them unprepared to enter through the golden gates into the city of God. And unless they can now be made to feel their great need, they will not have a spirit to seek for the essential righteousness of Christ. When called before King Belshazzar to explain the mysterious writing on the wall, Daniel reminded the king of matters with which he was familiar, but which had not taught him the lesson of humility that might have saved him. O thou king, said the prophet, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Daniel 5, verse 18 to 21. Then the enormity of Belshazzar's guilt was thus emphasized. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing: Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Verses 22 to 28. The Lord does not suffer wicked practices to go on without sending reproof and warning. There are men in high places who know of the reproofs of warnings of judgment sent, who know the example of God's dealings with others who have been disobedient, yet who have not sought to correct their ways before God. They have endeavored, rather, to make of none effect the messages that God has sent. They have continued to make of none effect the messages God has sent. They have continued to exalt themselves and to carry out their own ways in defiance of the words of God. They have not been ignorant of the right way, but they have allowed their eyes to be blinded. In pronouncing judgment upon these, God will say, "Though thou knewest all this, thou hast not humbled thy heart." Verse 22. Many have continued in a wicked course of action until the Lord Jesus cannot accept their service unless there is a genuine conversion. His people today have no excuse for turning away from the counsels of His Spirit. In His Word, He has given us examples that should be warnings to us. Yet although we have known all this, many of God's people have not taken heed to the warnings of God. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 12. Among the many discordant elements, some have been unable to discern the voice of God in the messages of warning and reproof that have been sent for the guidance of the church. Men who have refused to walk in the plain counsel of the Lord are not the ones who should be entrusted with the care of his sheep and lambs. Those who, while professing to believe the truth, resist the Holy Spirit, making light of the messages from heaven, will surely be punished for their transgressions. They will not in the future have greater evidence of the truth of these messages than has been given in the past. The Lord forbids that they should be entrusted with the responsibilities that they might have borne had they heeded the messages that the Lord in mercy sent them. The angel of the Lord instructed me, "Go, stand before my people, and speak to them the words that I will give you for church members and for unbelievers. I will give you tongue and utterance. You have been called from the needy field in Australia to bear a living testimony that, if heeded, will be the salvation of many souls. New agents must occupy the field you have left. I have a work for you among a people, many of whom have followed their own evil course and refuse to come to the light." Christ was the greatest missionary this world has ever known. The Word has been made flesh and dwelt among us. As a minister of healing to both soul and body, his work is to be carried forward in the earth today. The only work worthy of our attention in this world is the advancement of the kingdom of God. To those who will unite as agents of Christ in the carrying forward of his work in the earth, the promise is sure that they shall receive souls for their hire. The salvation of fallen and sinful humanity is a grand cooperative work in which every being, from the loftiest angel to the lowliest saint, has his appointed place. The innumerable company of angels are united with us in cooperation with God and Jesus Christ in the work of saving souls. Think of this, you who feel no burden to be united with Christ, that his church may be revealed as a body of laborers together with God. Let all draw in unity, their dependence placed upon Christ Jesus. Ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. The truth is a sanctifying, unifying power. We are baptized into one body and united through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. In carrying forward the work of the Lord, there will not be one indifferent member. If one member suffers, all the others will suffer with him. If one member receives a rich blessing, all the members will rejoice with him. The Lord of heaven and earth is the strength of his people. He is the light and life of every truly converted soul. His Spirit, working with its quickening power, will be recognized by its inspiration and its abiding influence. Christ our Lord identifies himself with the members of his church. It is this union of the human and the divine that convicts the world. Through the blessed union of those who are sanctified, body, soul, and spirit, the truth is magnified. All are to blend in keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. To the principalities and powers in heavenly places is made known by the Church the manifold wisdom of God. Were all who profess to be church members truly converted, what a power for truth and holiness would be manifested! They would be laborers together with God in leading souls to Christ. There can be no repining when Christ is formed within, the hope of glory. The message I have to bear is that a much higher standard must be reached by God's people. I entreat all to heed this warning. I dare not cease to cry aloud and spare not and show God's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah 58, verse 1. It is time that we all understood our true position, and that we give, in righteous characters, the evidence that we possess the truth.